good evening. The special meeting of the Capistrano Unified School District Board of Trustees is called to order. Thank you. Good evening. Trustee Brick, would you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, do we have board consideration and adoption of the agenda?
I'll second.
Motion by Bryson, second by Brick. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? 4-0. Okay. At this point, I'd like to note for the record in the minutes that although this meeting is agendized for teleconferencing of the meeting from this location to Ogden, Utah for Trustee Christensen, apparently he is unable or not calling in, so I understand it. So, and at this point, Trustee Bryson has asked for the floor for a few
minutes.
Oh, excuse me. Roll call first.
President Adonisio, Trustee Winston,
present.
Trustee Christensen, Trustee Brick,
here.
Trustee Bryson,
here.
Trustee Lopez Maddox,
here.
Trustee Palazzo.
Okay, thank you. Trustee Bryson.
Thank you, Chairman Winston. Yes, I would like to just give you the same briefing, essentially, that I have given to the board, and I will send it to them also in writing, but I also gave this information to Ron Lebs and our superintendent, Mahler, as well. I spent the day in Sacramento and met with the treasurer, with the superintendent of public instruction, Jack O'Connell, the Secretary of Education, Glenn Thomas, and with the heads of budget committees from both sides that gave us good perspective on the realities. And I will tell you point blank that I was told in every circumstance in attendance with the treasurer that the circumstances are absolutely out of control, very grave, and we're looking at an accelerated possible additional 10%. First, they thought it might be 5. I got additional information today that definitely we're looking at, that would mean with the budget we have, another $36 to $45 million potentially coming out in the 2010-2011 cycle. This is extremely grave circumstance, and I felt that everyone had the right to hear what we heard and what the board heard about those circumstances. And I'm sure you all saw other things in the paper today to indicate that many other districts are now beginning to come to grips with the fact that they did not have any preparation. We did have preparation here because members of the board had heeded the things that I had been hearing, and we did do many things that have enabled us to stay stable. So that's the information, and please be fully cognizant of the potential for truly difficult times ahead, and worse than now if possible, okay? And I'm sorry to relay that to you, but you know as much as I know now.
Thank you, Trustee Bryson. Now we'll have public comments. Given the number of cards, we'll go at 2 minutes each for 20 minutes. First, Rosemary Melissa, followed by John Melissa, followed by Aaron Kutnick.
Good evening, members of the board,
My name is Rosemary Melissa, and I'm from Laguna Niguel with a son who will be a senior at Elisa Niguel High. He's been in music since fourth grade, where elementary music was a seed that planted his desire for future music. He is now a member of Pacific Symphony Youth Wind Ensemble, going on the third year. He has strongly been motivated by the music program. I urge you to please vote tonight, where possible, to reinstate elementary music without further delay. Cutting elementary music affects elementary, middle, and high school. We've all heard the effects, the studies of the profound academic benefits of music education with previous speakers. And I want you to consider that if you eliminate block music, thousands of students will be affected, and this will cause chaos and confusion, especially at the high school level, where band and music is a year-round program. Band directors run summer band camps now, as we speak. It doesn't wait until September to get started. Cutting elementary music for a $1 million savings won't be quite enough to save class size reduction, but it would affect thousands in the music programs. I ask you, please, respectfully, to vote to save elementary music and pass the budget now where possible. Please don't let us lose any more of our talented music teachers while you wait. We've already lost our own band director. We really don't want to see this happening all over the district if possible. And thank you for allowing me to speak.
Following Aaron Kutnick will be April Stone.
My name is John Melissa. Good evening, trustees. Thank you for the time to speak here. I have three children that have progressed through CSUD schools, all the way from Marion Bergeson, and now I have a senior at Elisa Niguel High School. I'm here to support the block music program, and I understand that it's still in the budget, so I'm thankful for that. And I'm just asking that as you consider your options, please try to leave it in the budget. With over 8,000 students that are serviced by the block music program, that works out to about $125 per student. You know, that's about two or three music lessons. But music lessons would be pointless because it's all about the working together as a group and learning the excellence and developing together as teamwork. Some kids find they really love music and they go on, like my son did. Others move on to sports or drama or whatever, but they all still remember it. They remember that first day they picked up a trumpet or a clarinet or a violin, and it's always a part of them. When we're in a tough spot like this, we all need to help out. When I was growing up, I was in classes of 30 or 32. They maintained a good class conduct because they had strong discipline. I think that's something we need to consider again. Also, you know, the parents can help out. If we have to go to bigger classes, I wish we didn't, but parents can all help out, especially in K through 2, come in and give the teacher a hand, and help out at home, preparing the students and make sure they know what they're supposed to be learning in class, because it makes a huge difference. We can compensate to some extent for the class size, but if you kill a program like music, there's nothing we can do to bring it back, because it's just gone. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Following April Stone is Lona Kirstens.
Good evening, trustees. My name is Aaron Kutnick. Dr. Mueller, welcome to CUSD. I wish things were happier here. I just want to take a minute and congratulate the board because it appears that you've set some type of a new record. I looked back today and I counted, and you have had 32 board meetings in the past year. Yeah? Tonight is the 32nd board meeting since July 1st, 2008. Remember this being part of your reform platform, but by anyone's standards, that's an awful lot of meetings. And that means that was an awful lot of money spent and an awful lot of time spent by staff. But what's most disturbing about the number of meetings is that so little has been accomplished. At least half of those meetings have been held since the first of the year. That's 16 opportunities that you've had to work on this budget, and here we are at the 11th hour, no budget, no solutions. We have parents, teachers, and employees that are all wondering what the future holds. This is a tough budget. It's a bad economy, and things are grim. But is your intent to really allow the school district to be taken over by the state? Is making a decision really that difficult? Each one of you ran for the school board because you wanted the job. Now it's time to do your job, and you need to pass a budget. And you need to do that tonight so that those of us, which is pretty much everyone in this room, who are working hard every day to support education, know what we need to do and how we need to get more involved to make sure that our students are getting everything that they need.
Thank you. Following Lorna Kirstens will be Stephanie Fordyce.
Hello, I'm April Stone. I'm from Vista Del Mar Elementary School, and I just have 3 points that I want to make. One of them, my second one, piggybacking on something that Trustee Palazzo said on Monday. She's not here, but if it's okay with you, I'd still like to say it. Okay, point one, kindergarten through third grade teachers are not asking for grades 4 through 12 to shoulder the responsibility of class size reduction. Those informed know that teachers across grades kindergarten through 8th are losing their jobs, not just the teachers in K through 3. This went out to all of us, not just the primary. Losing CSR wipes out all of us, not just some of us. My second point is to Trustee Palazzo. I listened to you on Monday night explain to those of us out here that we don't understand what it's like to be you up there. You also stated that you were 7 strangers trying to work this out. I can say with full confidence that every year for the past 4 years, I have welcomed strangers into my classroom. I myself am a stranger to nervous little faces on every single day one. With all due respect to all of your highly difficult positions, my job, as I chose to take on, was to make it work, strangers or not. I, like all of these teachers down here, molded our strangers into confident individuals. I went home on Monday night thinking that if we have managed to work it out with children, so must you. And number 3, lastly, as a student of this district in the past and a teacher of this district right now in the present, I hope my future in this district is recognized by my ability to inspire and not by my number on the RIF list.
Thank you, Ms. Stone. Following Lorna, Stephanie Fordyce is Judy Heidel.
Hi, my name is Lorna Kirstens. I'm the mother of 2 kids at Vista Del Mar. We've been here for 2 years. Previously, we lived in Connecticut and Illinois, where my kids attended public and private schools. These states have a reputation for excellence beyond most other states in the country. But the best education they've received is here in this district at Vista Del Mar. They've been taught by 4 wonderful teachers, Sherry Smith, April Stone, Pam Clevett, and Kim Good. You couldn't hope for better teachers for your kids, but all 4 of them have pink slips, and they will not be there next year. If the budget is passed, you simply will not see these teachers in front of your children. While politicians debate and spend billions in achieving excellence in education, we have excellence right here in this district, right now. With all the bailouts and stimulus packages we have borrowed from our children's future, let's not rob them of the best education they can get. On Monday, despite enormous pressure, you stood as the last line of defense for the excellence in this district. You lived up to your titles as trustees. The pressure is now back where it should be, with the leaders, the bureaucrats, the organizations who should be making the compromises to save CSR and these wonderful teachers. Thank you.
Thank you. Following Judy Heidel will be Mary Jane Hilborn.
Good evening. My name is Stephanie Fordyce, and I am a dedicated third-year teacher at Vista Del Mar Elementary in San Clemente. On Monday night after the board meeting, I approached the union president to ask, what is the union going to do before Wednesday's meeting? I was told, nothing will be done. Since I feel the union is not representing me and my colleagues, I'm here to represent myself and those of my peers. My colleagues at Vista Del Mar are willing to negotiate. We want what is best for this district and what is best for the kids. And the 21 RIF teachers at my school are willing to take a pay cut, take furlough days, be on a different pay scale, and even be frozen in columns. Please consider the needs of our students above all else. We are willing to be a part of the solution.
Thank you. Following Mary Jane Hilbun is Jennifer Benevente.
Good evening, Superintendent Mahler and trustees. My name is Judy Heidel, and I have a child at Bernice Eyre in middle school and a child at Truman Benedict Elementary School. Trustee Winston, you ran on the slogan, "The administration is no longer going to tell the board what to do. The board is going to tell the administration what to do." We are still waiting for your direction. Trustee Christensen, in absentia, during a meeting when the board debated Superintendent Carter's fate, you assured the audience that the board had no interest in micromanaging. However, at the April meeting, you spent nearly 20 minutes discussing apples and directed Mr. Lebs to send the already secured produce contract back out to bid. He did. It will now cost the district an additional $130,000 for produce. In spite of your many hours in meetings and perhaps best intentions, your actions and inactions have divided our district. Parents versus teachers, CSR versus block music, counselors versus adult education, and apparently trustees versus trustees. Pass a budget, accept the consequences. Thank you.
Thank you. Following Jennifer Benevente will be Catherine Cross.
Good evening, I'm Mary Jane Hilbun. At the last board meeting, I heard several, as a matter of fact, tonight's board meeting also, I heard several times that those that had gathered had achieved success despite larger class sizes. And although I agree that the best and brightest are probably gathered here, I disagree with the idea that losing small class size won't hurt our children today. Because times have really changed in the last 30 years since my children were in elementary school. Today, there are rigorous state standards and very high expectations. When my daughter, who is now a third grade teacher, was a third grade student, I helped her memorize her times tables. That was a big accomplishment for third grade. But she was never taught multi-digit multiplication. She certainly never had to learn long division, fractional parts of a group, or how to turn a mixed number into an improper fraction. In fact, what I remember is that she had to stay after school each day for reading with the fourth and fifth graders because she wasn't properly challenged with the third grade curriculum. I know this because I was a parent volunteer, and I was there pretty much every day to help my kids' overwhelmed and overburdened teachers. What the state requires my daughter to teach today could never have been accomplished then in a classroom of 30-plus third graders. And I should know because I'm still a classroom volunteer in her class today. If CSR is cut, we will be sacrificing the standards, the high expectations, and the success of our students. Basic learning of all students is done in the kindergarten through third grade. No adult can be successful in any workplace without the basics of reading, writing, and math. I implore you not to cut the class sizes. You know the right thing to do. I really hope you do it tonight.
Thank you. Following Catherine Cross will be Quinn Thornburg, and that wraps it up.
Good evening. My name is Jennifer Benevente, and I am a pink slip teacher from Canyon Vista Elementary School. One of the last activities my third grade class did this year was to write about why they are proud to be an American. The big idea was for them to understand that they have the obligation to protect what is right, change what is wrong, and the freedom to never give in without a fight. So I am standing before you tonight to model that lesson for them.
You see, the other connections that my students made was that historically, in times of crisis, Americans have stood together and made sacrifices. They sacrificed limb and life. They made do with shortages and rations, and they did so with pride. Teachers and administrators here have the opportunity to continue that tradition because across our nation, Americans are still sacrificing in order to protect the greater good, and so can we. We don't need to wait for the state to bail us out because our teachers and administrators have the means to help overcome the shortfall if we come together and make small sacrifices for the greater good. I wish our union president was here today because I know that we have sent many, many letters as teachers and as parents stating that we would be willing to sacrifice 2-4% of our pay to maintain CSR, save jobs, salvage our districts and our union's reputation, and rally community support. You are our voice. Our children are listening to your message. There they are in the front row. And they are learning a lesson from what we do tonight. We need to stand together and do the right thing. Our children are watching, and what they learn will become our future.
Thank you.
I kind of hate this podium. I hate that it puts us back to the parents in the community. So that's my first comment. Second thing, I've heard several times tonight what I basically come up here to say. We can bellyache and complain, but this is the reality that we're facing. It helps in being some inner peace if you look for some solutions. I urge every parent in this room to go to CUSDFoundation.org. It's a nonprofit organization, and they raise money for the schools, all the schools in our district. I make no opinion. I just say put it out there. Fundraising, some may laugh and say, well, we shouldn't be doing that. We've paid enough. And I agree. I don't want to have to pay anymore. My husband's military. We don't have a lot of money to give. But it, like I said, the reality that we're facing, we're broke. And there's a lot of dissent and discord. So we can either sit and complain and be angry or look for solutions. And that's just one solution I put forth. Check out the website. One car dealership has offered to donate a car for raffle. That's $150,000. Not a lot of money in the grand scheme of things, but it's something. And something is better than nothing. Correct me if I'm wrong. Thank you.
Thank you. Quinn Thornburg.
Thank you, trustees. I am so excited to look out at all of these people who have paraded in and out of this boardroom over this time span of the spring and now summer, because all of these people are passionate about children. Children are why we get so riled up, because we want the very best for them. They are our future. In light of the current shortfalls of funding, we must look for ways to be the most efficient that we can be to educate our children. Scientists and researchers have known for many years that the best way to get a brain hotwired is to immerse them in a myriad of sense status: seeing, listening, touching, doing. Music immerses children in listening, seeing, touching, doing. And that hot fires the brain and centers fire all over the brain. And the more you practice that, the more you practice singing and moving, the more you practice an instrument, the more you practice that, the more that communication gets smoother and more rapid. And that carries over to all learning. And can never be taken away from the children. I urge you to continue the proud history that CUSD has had of being on the cutting edge, and keep music in the elementary school. Thank you.
Thank you. That closes the public comments. Now we're ready for our agenda item. Okay, the first and only item on the agenda is board discussion action on consideration approval of the adoption of the 2009-2010 final budget. I think we all know why we're here. Any of the trustees have any comments, or Mr. Lebs, do you have any great news to report to us?
I wish that I did, but the financial picture at the state and local level has not changed from what we've discussed over the past several months. In fact, I think Trustee Bryson articulated it rather well, that we're looking at a deteriorating financial situation. The budget that we have prepared and presented to you for adoption this evening was done in accordance with the direction we received from the board over the past several months, and taking into consideration the financial picture that we're looking at. I still think we have some more work to do as we sit here this evening moving into next year in terms of identifying additional shortfall that's being projected as a result of the May revision that we will need to do prior to our first interim report, which is at the end of September, but would be required to be done by December when that report is due. We would be happy to respond to any questions that you have of us this evening. But with that, I think that we've pretty much discussed this, and we all know the picture we're looking at.
Thank you, Mr. Lebs. This is tough. It's not. There's no one right answer, but I think we're down to the short brush strokes on this budget, and I solicit comments from any of the trustees for discussion.
A school, as our superintendent pointed out so beautifully yesterday or Monday evening, is all about the individuals. It's all about a family of people coming together to educate the children. We have worked very hard. There were a lot of people working today to see if there was any which way possible. Trustees were calling, trustees were present, staff worked around the clock, and everything that is being presented today is the best that this group of humans can give you. And I know that there will be unhappy people and happy people, and people at every point of the spectrum of the feelings here. But be assured that we tried to be thoughtful of each and every group, because each and every group has a right to have those things for their children they would like to have, if it's humanly possible. So I hope you accept the budget and whatever decision my trustees, whatever occurs this evening, with the knowledge that whether you agree with us or not, we know we are here to do work for you, and we have done the very best we could.
Mr. Mannix? No. Mr. Brick?
It's pretty obvious that the greatest work we'll be doing will be after the fiscal year. We have to prepare for the very worst, as Mr. Lepsis has said. We have to look at it, and we have to address it, and we need to remedy it. But it's not going to be easy. It's going to be very difficult, and we're going to need more people working together rather than finger pointing. So with that, I'll say, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Brick. Thank you for everybody who's spoken up with comments tonight. In a rare situation in this boardroom, I agree with all the comments, and thank you for them all, even the constructive criticism of what's gone on up here over the last year. I don't argue. The data I've collected since Monday and discussed with Mr. Lebs leads me to propose the following potential solution. And I do this with all due gravity and difficulty. We are in a state of fiscal emergency in this school district, in this county, from what I read in the paper about the county government, certainly the state, which impacts all of the above. It's difficult to say those words. Most of us have grown up and enjoyed good and plenty during our lifetimes. I thought that what I heard from my parents and grandparents about the Great Depression was just sort of a far-off fairy tale. And now I'm seeing it may not be all that far off, and it's not a fairy tale. We need to make tough decisions. We've talked a lot about the facts we have and the facts we don't have, all the voices who have talked to us, I've heard them all. I think all of my colleagues here have heard them all. None of them are illegitimate, and we need to weigh those facts, balance the impact now, balance the impact down the road, keep delivering our educational services, and make some priorities. And none of the rankings that we've engaged in are the best rankings or the right rankings, but we do have to make some rankings, make some decisions. The proposal I have come to grips with is to start the process of some of the cuts that I think are everyone's heard about and no one's wanted to accept, and some we just haven't been in the position to get to yet due to law and contracts and all the rest. All around my community, people are losing homes, out of jobs, earning a whole lot less than they did last year and the year before, and we have to do something, make some decisions. I would love to retain CSR the way it is right now, and I don't think that after squeezing every drop out of the budget and the administration and trying to look at it, that that's possible. Now, there's been a big tug of war and a big argument about whether we can offer some compromise on that. I think we can. I would propose that we retain first grade CSR at 25-1, and the rest of it we have to let go, at least for this next coming year. And based on my best weighing of the facts from the arguments the educators are throwing out and the teachers, I think that first grade is ever so critical, and I wish there was some way to make the numbers work to keep some level of it at second grade and third grade, but I just don't see that that's possible. Not right now, anyway. It doesn't mean that this decision is going to be set in stone and won't be revisited if other circumstances as they play out and change and evolve and develop allow us to revisit CSR and make some other decisions. So I would propose that we adopt the budget proposed Monday night with the following amendments. That we, and I'm going to ask Kuma to accept some tough facts, and our administrators, I want you to know, every one of you has been delightful and professional and pleasant with me, and I thank you. I offer you all the praise I can offer, and offer in return only apologies that I'm having to say what I'm saying. But I think that from what I hear in the community, a lot of families are doing with less, and we all know that. We all hear that. We have to deliver education. We have to accept what our constituents, our voters, the taxpayers are telling us. I divine them as best I can and listen to the many voices and weigh the many interests. I think that this school district has been extremely fair with its administrators over the years. I think the school district pays a very fair wage, and with the salary, the benefits, and pension benefits, it's been a very fair wage. And we hear about the state revenues being down 20% and all the rest. You see, the UC system chancellor announced the other day that he's needs 8% back from all of his employees. So I would propose that we balance the budget as proposed by asking for requiring 5 more furlough days of the Kuma employees, free step and column increases that they're scheduled to obtain July 1st, implement a 5% salary reduction, and if my math is correct, as I went over it with Mr. Lebs yesterday, that balances our budget. As I make this motion, I am cognizant of the other circumstances out there and the other negotiations going on. I am not asking our Kuma employees to chip in alone. I praise them for having made the first step and extended the hand when they did a few months ago. I wish we had gotten similar help from the other employee units. We didn't. My proposal as part of all this is at least a pledge that I will work to make sure whatever deals we reach are resolved with the collective bargaining units are not disproportionately shared at the expense of Kuma. And yeah, I'm making this alone. This is not part of my motion, that I'll seek equalization down the road. That's my personal vow. That's not part of my motion. I'm not requiring that. So, with that, is there a second, or Trustee Bryson would like to speak?
Yes. I stated the other night.
I think
I will second the motion.
So thank you, Trustee Bryson.
Monday evening, I said that the sacrifice must include everyone. Everyone. And as Trustee Winston has pointed out, it was Kuma who came to us, and Kuma who has shown great leadership at this moment. And I praise that leadership because it shows how very much they care about this district. They have not only invested their lives here, but they are investing also their knowledge and understanding that this is something that happens maybe once in a generation, once in 50, 100 years. This is an immense tsunami of trouble. And they recognized it. They spoke to us some time ago, to the board as an entirety. And I have to say I'm very impressed with their leadership because they are leading the way. They are showing the way for the children to have what they need across the board. Smaller class sizes and everything else in the future will hang on other negotiations. It will hang on leadership of other people. And we can only hope that they will rise to the level of leadership and care of this district that we have seen here tonight. And I thank Kuma. I appreciate the leadership. I appreciate their thoughtful and intelligent caring about all the children as much as they think of themselves.
Do we have any other trustee comments? Okay.
Mr. Winston.
Mr. Lebs.
Just a point of clarifying question. Just as a point of information, a step and column freeze across Kuma will not affect all employees equally. Some people aren't moving across or taking steps. It will affect classified and certificated differently. So my clarifying question to you would be, are you seeking the same amount of reduction out of all employees in the Kuma group?
I'm open to discussion. Now, we're not able and we're not doing anything with certificated and classified tonight.
No, but you have certificated members of CUMA and classified members of CUMA, and a step and column freeze would affect those particular employees in different ways.
Okay.
Not everybody moves every year.
Right. What are any trustees' thoughts on that question?
If I understand this correctly, though, the step and column freeze just stops somebody from getting additional income on top of what they're already receiving. Whereas if you were to account that as a decrease, you would then be decreasing the other employee that same amount the other person otherwise would have earned. Is that correct?
Is your question, do we want to allow the scheduled July 1 increases before we do the rollbacks?
No. My question, I think, is a little more simplistic than that. Let me give you an example. For example, you have employee A. He or she is not making a step next year, or they're stepped out. I'm thinking of the classified schedule. So a step and column freeze isn't going to affect them. Employee B, let's say they've been with the district 2 years, and they're going to make a step, and I'm not familiar exactly how much percentage is between each step and each salary schedule, but let's say it's a 2.5% or a 5% step. They simply won't get that increase. The employee B, who's going from, say, step 1 to step 2, they would be anticipating a 5% increase or 2.5% increase between steps. They simply wouldn't get that increase.
Okay. I'm proposing a freeze on everything that as it stands right now.
Okay.
Does that help?
I understand the direction.
All right. Do you have a suggestion to adjust that for some logical reason?
Let me see if I can rephrase it in a completely different question. Are you interested in hearing from the CUMA Management Association on how they might like to take a particular cut or reduction in salary if you're targeting a certain amount of dollars or percentage?
Here's my viewpoint on that. Good question. Thank you. My viewpoint on that is I want to reach a balanced budget tonight. I want you to be able to certify this budget and get it to OCDE next week on time.
Okay.
Okay. I am certainly open-minded for further discussion with CUMA representatives, however they want to be comprised, on how this might be better amended at our next meeting.
Okay.
Now, do you need more direction before we further discuss?
Let me make sure I understand what you're looking for. Is what you would, I'm gonna say it back so I make sure I get it right. You want a balanced budget. You want a positive certification. You would like to, for lack of a better term, buy down class size reduction in first grade to 25-1. The other grades would stay as they're proposed in the budget at 31.5-1.
Unfortunately, yes.
Okay, so what we're looking for is a target dollar amount, probably from CUMA, in order to buy that number down in 25-1. And so my question is it important to the board how that dollar amount is comprised, or can you leave that up to CUMA to decide how they might want to do that?
We would like final input and approval, certainly. That's my view. Trustee Bryson.
Chair, for the evening, Winston, may I request a 5-minute recess to discuss this, please?
With who?
With ourselves. We can't. Okay. Then you're going to have to outline some other things for me very clearly.
Okay.
All right. It's not from a desire not to disclose, but a desire that I really need more time to make sure that I have the full comprehension of what it is that is being stated here. Okay?
Okay.
All right. So we'll just go over it again. If it is frozen at this time across the board, there are people who will not be moving forward in step and column this year. Is that correct?
There are people who will not.
Okay. Therefore, their income would not be affected this year.
They would take less of a cut than those that would be moving.
Correct. Okay. And therefore, the best way to resolve that may be to have another manner of handling how it occurs so that it is across the board, the weight falls on each person the same.
Yes.
Okay. Then I would like to say I think it would be important if we could conclude the budget this evening with the understanding that there might be an amendment after the conversations with the Kuma leadership.
Okay.
That's my personal feeling as a trustee.
If I may ask, before the board takes a final vote, may we have 5 minutes to discuss with my budget staff how this might impact out as we've talked about it this evening, so that we could kind of answer some of these questions? Is that 5-10 minute recess? Is that, Dr. Mahler, is that acceptable to you?
That's fine, sure.
Okay.
We'll be in recess for 10 minutes.
Give us
5 minutes.
Let's say 8 o'clock, just to give us time.
We'll reconvene at 8 o'clock.
Thanks.
We stand in recess.